North, Central, South America, and around the world, you're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm your host, William Cooper. On the line with me, folks, is Gene Miller from Swiss America Trading. And before I let him say anything, Gene, I want you to please, on behalf of all the listening audience and myself and my family, Annie and Pooh, and Carolyn Nelson, who's here with us, we want to wish you our heartfelt congratulations and best wishes for the new addition to your family.
Well, thank you. I guess that's how I wanted to start the program off tonight. I guess the best news I have is the new birth of our son. His name is Jonathan Craig Miller, and he was born, I guess it would be Tuesday morning, 12:42, in the morning, and he weighed 6 pounds, 10 ounces, 19 inches long.
Well, that's wonderful. Were you able to be with your wife when the baby was born?
Oh, I saw the whole thing.
That's wonderful.
Right beside her.
I'll tell you, after watching Pooh being born, I wouldn't have missed that for the world.
Quite an event.
Yes, absolutely. Gene, tell us what's happening in the metals market.
Well, gold and silver both are up a little bit today. Gold was up $3.30 up to $356.30. Silver was up a few pennies as well, up to about $4.15. Dow Jones is up also. Everything seems to be up. And I guess that's good news for those that are holding on for gold. But main thing is, we're, you know, most of our people are buying it for protection, buying it for down the road. Also in the numismatic market, things are progressing along there as well. Some of the things are holding fairly steady. Now, we have a couple of issues that your listeners may be interested. In fact, I've had quite a few people take advantage of it, and that's Morgan Silver Dollars, both Mid-State 66 and 67, and then also some Peace Dollars, Mid-State 66 Peace Dollars. And what I'm telling the people, you know, unless they absolutely want these things for their collectible value, don't fall in love with these things. But what we're doing in particular with these is because of the low population that of the coins that are out there, and the strength that's within Swiss America, we're buying up just probably as many of the coins as we can find, and actually it's driving the market up fairly nice. What I'm instructing my clients to do is buy these for the short term and turn around, take the profits, and then go back in and buy either bullion or low grade numismatic coins, or even, you know, the smaller denomination silver or small fractional gold piece. But what's happening is, from the in the short term, they're able to buy considerably more of the bullion than they would be if they just bought it outright right now.
Uh-huh.
I apologize for my phone; somebody's trying to beep in, but. It's what we call ratio trading, and we're just taking advantage of the market right now. It's moving up, like the 66 piece dollars. We're looking at probably 3 or 4 months seeing maybe a 50% to 100% return on your money. So that's not too bad. Turn around, put that back into the bullion market.
No, that's not bad at all. In fact, it's very good. You know, a lot of our listeners were able to get some good deals in gold and silver on this downturn.
Yeah. And so, you know, you take advantage of it while it lasts, and stock up on it.
That's right. And remember, folks, I don't recommend that you do this to try to make some big, giant profit or make a killing on the market, because I'm going to tell you right now, unless you're one of the big players, you're not going to do that. You might make a little here and a little there, but what we recommend on this show, for the reason that you should get into gold and silver, is to protect what you've earned all your life against what's coming in the future.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And this is one way we're just showing them how to beat the system, in a sense. Like I say, we're not in here to make anybody rich overnight. We're just in it to, if I can show them a way that they can get a lot more protection, a lot more gold for their money, and really there's no downside risk on it, because I tell my clients the worst case scenario is if they had enough money to buy 10 coins, and if I 20 coins, and the worst case scenario is they'd still get 10 coins, so they really have nothing to risk by trying, and the market's in a position to do that. You know, if bullion is what they want, you know, we'll give the client whatever it is they're looking for, but the timing is right to make your move, because with the things that are happening around the world, the unrest, all these things are just going to contribute to gold and silver continuing to move upward.
Now, I still get requests from people outside the country for a phone number that they can call. Can you give them?
602-953-6000. I don't know what the overseas extension is all on that, but I know that's the regular number that they can call. It's 602-953-6000.
Yeah, the problem is they hear me give the 800 number, and they can't call an 800 number from outside the country.
Right. Yeah, it only works in the United States. And for those, if you don't know by now, it's 1-800-289-2646 or 1-800-BUY-COIN.
That's right. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. For those of you outside the United States, the number is 602, that's the area code, 953-6000. That's 6000. 602-953-6000. Any parting things you want to tell the audience?
Yeah, call for our newsletter if you don't have that yet. We have one called in. The Right to Own Gold, very good. Another one entitled How to Stop the New World Order. We'll send you all of it that we have. Also, because of, I'm just feeling pretty perky and good about the birth of my son, and remember his name, Jonathan, because if you call me the rest of this week and you, if you speak to me and you mention his name, and if you're ready to buy gold, I'll give you a deal that you can't refuse.
Hey.
I'm pretty good about it, so give me a call tomorrow, and, you'll be happy you did. Let's just put it that way.
Anytime you call, folks, please ask for Gene Miller. He's the one that devotes his time to this program. He was instrumental, in fact, in bringing about the sponsorship of the Hour of the Time with Swiss America Trading, along with Craig Smith. And, of course, you've heard that he's been right in here with us all the time. Thanks very much, Gene. And again,
thank you.
Congratulations. Tell your wife we wish her the best, and, of course, the little one, too.
All right. Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you another revelation expose in the voice, the very voice of the person who is being exposed. This is the best way we like to do it, and you can never accuse me of lying. Now, I want to preface this before we roll the tape, folks, with the fact that I am a strict constitutionalist. I believe that everyone has a right to practice the religion that they wish, without anybody else sticking their nose in it, except when they're hurting other people, or when they deceive other people by telling them they belong to a religion that they don't belong to, in order to get those people to accept them or follow them or be manipulated by them. So it is not the religion that I have a problem with. It is the fact that this person, when he is met with identity Christians, has sworn that he is an identity Christian. When he's met with charismatics, he was a charismatic. When he has been with New Age people, he's tried all the different religions and has never found one that has suited him. And, of course, when he's with born-again Christians, he's a born-again Christian. When he's with, in fact, he changes religions like some people change socks. So tonight, you're going to hear the religion that this person really belongs to in his own words, ladies and gentlemen. And the religion is not in any way, shape, or form Christianity. He has the right to belong to that religion if he so desires, and so does anyone else in this world, but he does not have the right to deceive other people by telling them that he belongs to their religion when he's speaking to them, when in fact he really does not. Pay close attention.
And yet the most exciting things in my life, I bear you testimony right now, the most exciting things in my life have happened in the temples of the Lord. In St. George Temple, in Mesa Temple, right here. Just absolutely unspeakably wonderful, exciting thing. When they started telling me about a temple, see, that was new, and I liked that idea. And so it wasn't very long until my wife and I and my two children, three and four children, I got two dads already gone, Jim 34 and Dave 32, but Michael is 22 now, and Melody will soon be 19, and they were still with us. It was back in 1984. We were baptized, and then I was able to baptize my wife and my kids. And then in the next year, 1985, we were sealed, and telling you, we stood with my wife and I did in Lost Wages here a few months ago. A friend of ours from up in Tucson was married there to Christina. Big difference, I'm here to tell you, with the neon light and the plastic flowers and the Reverend Jim Fingers sitting there going like this, the best of your heart, you're out of here. And be kneeling across the holy altar in the house of the Lord, knowing that this is for time and eternity. And then, can you imagine, boy, my feet didn't hardly touch the ground when I was able to be baptized for my grandfather and for my dad. And then I was able, I think this was one of my biggest thrills, I was able to take my wife and baptize her for Mary Ella Gundy, my grandmother, and we were able to do those sessions, and we were able to do all those things. Boy, I'm here to tell you, you talk about fullness of the gospel. Now, we didn't win a round. Some of us are just a little slower, a little hard-headed than others. It took me longer to get caught up with a lot of you fellows. But there's a whole bunch of guys that are still out here that still don't have the word. And so the wonderful things that have occurred have happened in that temple. It wasn't long. My wife and I will share one more story with you before I jump on. We were in the temple in August of 85, and we made a goal to do 100 sessions by the first of the year. And St. George is like 3.5 hours from our house, but by airplane it's only 40 minutes. And so we were up there a lot with as many friends as we could pack into the bird each time we went up. And we were able to complete those sessions. As a matter of fact, I had to go on a mission just before the first of the year. My wife, by herself, made up all those that I wasn't able to finish. But something happened that I'll share with you, and I'll be careful how I do it, but it's one of the most exciting things that ever happened in my life. And as I was completing the endowment, you can imagine, I'm doing the best I can now to get everything right. As I was completing the endowment, the veil worker just turned me around and said, here, you work this station, and walked away. I had about 3 heartbeats, and I had zero idea, honestly, what was going to happen in those three heartbeats, except I was so thrilled. I didn't know what to do. Usually I'm not quite speechless. But I just said, Father, this is yours. It was wonderful. And I was so thrilled that when I got in to see my wife, she was waiting with her foot tapping and said, what happened to you? My feet weren't even on the ground. She said, a big smile. I went on out. And you know, we got in the bird the next day and flew to the major temple, and the very same thing happened. Just like it was stamped. I went back to St. George and saw the temple residency. They said, I think maybe you got a calling, folks. And boy, what a wonderful time it was being able to work there and out of the Lord as we work with these missions as they came to us. Now, I got in a lot of trouble. Boy, as a matter of fact, I was up seeing Ed Meekham, he invited me up. And as I was walking out of the state house, this was before all of the massive petitions against him, there was a photographer there, and he took my picture. They were kind of laying an ambush for him, I think, in those days. And next thing you know, on the front page, a full color page of the Beehive newspaper, which is in about 5 states, it says Warren Lambeau on there. Well, it wasn't long before the mission president in Las Vegas called me on the phone and said, oh, you were to report to Ezra Taft Benson in Salt Lake City, ASAP. Well, I paid the song dong and I read it. And I've been given credit for slaying 400 as a hated enemy. But I'll tell you, I froze at that point, and because I didn't think anybody saw the wizard, very frankly. So I told him, in the Emerald City, by the White House to confirm whether or not this drug war, Kunzah, had U.S. prisoners of war. When I got in there, he didn't have any prisoners, but boy, did he ever give me the lowdown on government drug operations. I'm not talking about his government, I'm talking about the U.S. government. And I had it all on video tape. Well, I'm just a messenger. We were the first U.S. agents to ever go in and come out alive. This guy's the most heinous drug criminal in the history of the world. At least that's what Attorney General Thornburg called him when he indicted him. The CIA had a 7-digit figure on his head for bounty. I was too much like an assassin. I thought maybe they were trying to get rid of me when they said, oh, you go into the Golden Triangle, see whether General Kunzah had any U.S. prisoners? What would you have done? Well, I said, I took Scott David Weekly and maybe Peter with me. The point is that when we came out of there with these videotapes, I was told, if you don't erase and forget everything you've got, you're going to hurt the government. Well, being hard-headed, I said, who's government? I'd be a little facetious with them. And they said, look, folks, nobody wants to hurt a war hero, but don't you make the government go wrong. Because we'll take you on and we'll put you under the prison. We will bring an aggravated charge of hostile witness against you. You will serve 15 years as a felon. Now, I don't know how you feel about being accused, not by State Hall, but by the White House, or the State Department, or the Justice Department, of being a felon. But I have served in the uniform of the United States all my adult life. I was that kid that wanted to be a champion for the United States. When we used to sing, God Bless America, I used to think about ourselves. I used to cry just thinking about America standing beside her and guiding her through the night with the light. Boy, I was right there. That meant a lot to me. It is a 5-year-old kid. And all of a sudden, I'm going to be a felon, a criminal to my government, to my people. Well, thank God for my grandma, because I just got hard-headed. She was harder than a woodpecker, Rex, and she just passed a little bit. She passed a little bit of off on me. And I just said no. Well, they came after me, and so you can imagine being my state president. Boy, Lou Hilbert, you talk about being challenged. See, I know he's going to heaven, so he's already had the old right that one of the people assigned him. They got all over me, and they tried to indict me for a bunch of things. I'm guilty of all of them. And when Lou called me into his office, he said, oh, you're in trouble, you're going to be a lawyer. I said, President Hilbert, I don't bring much lawyers. I think they probably belong on the bottom of the ocean with international language. I know, folks. If you're going to need a lawyer. This is a whole different arena for him. And he said, I've got a lawyer for him. So he said, you go over to see Lamont Mills. Lamont Mills was the U.S. attorney for the first 4 years under Ronald Reagan. Lamont was a Vietnam veteran. They knew I was being set up. So Lamont said he wasn't having money, so he said, oh, I'm going to defend you for free. Because you're going to need a defense. You'll have to pay the freight, but you're not going to have me charge you 1 cent. Well, then all of a sudden you can imagine when the word came down, and Bo get up to Salt Lake City. So I took the lawyer with me. I asked him, if you want to go to Salt Lake? And he said, you bet. I mean, he was kind of excited. He didn't have nothing to worry about. So I took my mouthpiece, and we went up in my little bird and landed at Salt Lake too, and Hartman Rector Jr. met us. And was I ever really seen the Lord does work in wondrous ways. I've had more shelters in my life than probably any other human being deserved. But he told me, he said, Bo, President Benson has asked me to pick you up. He is an emergency priesthood meeting. I'm going to take you to the administrative offices and find out what is going on here with this Marlon Rambo business and with this drug.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it right here on the Hour of the Time. I know people as recently as last month who have asked Bobo Gritz, are you a member of the Mormon Church? And he's looked them right in the eye and said, no. But I do sometimes go to the little Mormon church there in the valley where I live with my wife because there's no other churches around that I can go to. Well, folks, the number is 602-333-2174. I'm going to take your calls. We'll talk about this or anything you want to talk about tonight. 602-333-2174 is the number. Also, the buzz that you hear on the call-in line is a ground problem. And the people at the Let's Talk Satellite Network have rigged up a little thing that I'm going to be able to plug in here that's going to cure that. So that's not going to be a problem too much longer. In fact, we should find it in the mail tomorrow when we go down there to pick up all the mail. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello. Goodbye. The number is 602-333-2174. When you call in, folks, don't be afraid to talk. Nobody's going to bite you, and nobody knows who you are. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Well, looks like we got some kind of a problem here. Don't know exactly what it is, but we'll find out. Good evening. You're on the air. Let me sort of mess around here. Hello? Hello? Looks like something is not jiving somehow. We'll try it again, folks. In the meantime, what can we do here? I don't know what we can do. I'm not an electrician, so I don't know what's wrong here at all. We'll try this. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill Cooper. This is Joe in Tucson.
Oh, okay. We had some callers who just didn't talk. Go ahead, because I didn't do anything.
Two topics that I wanted to indicate to you. That one of them is the Black Hawk helicopters, or totally black helicopters without any identification here in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
There are 25 of them at Pinal County Airport, which is Marana Airport.
Uh-huh.
It's a civilian airport, open to everybody, except there's a guard at the gate and you can't get in. And I talked to a National Guard sergeant this afternoon, and he says he works on those Black Hawk helicopters that are all black, and there are no identification, and he doesn't know who flies them or what's going on. It's kind of interesting, but there are at least 20 of them, five of them here in Tucson that fly around, particularly in the woods around here, the passes and Mount Lennon.
Yeah, we've seen them all over the place. I've seen them in the back hill country flying with their terrain-following radar, and it looks like a bouncing ball. Remember the old movies where they used to sing songs and they had the words and the ball would bounce on the words?
Right.
That's what they look like when they're flying, especially at night, and could account for a lot of UFO sighting reports.
Okay, let me change subject and talk about something I just heard on the other station or the other program.
Go for it.
Ken Fawcett stated tonight, and it was his voice, that the three BATF agents that went into the window and were killed are now back at work.
are now back at work.
That's right. They didn't die. Now, apparently, I don't know why he said that, but that's what the BATF report says, that he says he read, that came out of the Treasury Department. It's kind of amazing.
Well, now, if that's true, because the BATF themselves announced the death of those three people a long time ago.
That's right. In fact, you played the audio of Bill Clinton saying those three guys died and gave their names, and those three guys were his bodyguards during the campaign.
That's correct. I didn't play the audio of Bill Clinton. I read from his speech I did. Which anybody can get a copy of. Well, that's very interesting. I mean, if they've been resurrected from the dead, I mean, when is David Koresh going to make his appearance?
Boy.
Wouldn't that be something if David Koresh came crawling out of those ashes?
That's right. One other point. Well,
I'd like to see it, to tell you the truth.
Well, Waco didn't happen, I guess. The other point was that the tank, there was not a flamethrower. A lantern fell on the tank and caused the fire.
Who said that?
Ken Fawcett. Now, I said, wait a minute, that happened twice. You know, we see it go in twice, and there's fire on it both times.
That's right.
And so somebody called in and called him on that, and he said, well, actually, we know it's a fire. We don't know if it's a flamethrower. We don't understand where that fire came from.
Well, let me tell you something. Ken Fawcett is full of a lot of baloney. He's trying to slough this off on something that happened involving narcotics a long, long time ago. And I'm telling you right now, that's a red herring. That's not what Waco was about.
I agree. It seems awfully strange that he's covering for somebody, and somebody got to him or something like it to me.
Well, I don't think anybody got to him. I think he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Just what a lot of other chaos people out there are doing, keeping patriots confused and running around in circles. It has nothing to do with somebody making methamphetamine or something else on that property years and years ago. Nothing whatsoever. Even if it did, those people would not have the power to have affected the news media and planted the stories that they did and bring in the ATF, the FBI, the National Guard, the British SAS, Delta teams, and I could go on and on and on, a special psychological operations units from the Department of Defense. Ken Fawcett, I don't know what he's up to or who he represents, but what he's spouting is absolute, total, utter nonsense.
It does seem to be disinformation strategies, but I agree with that. We don't know yet what he's doing. Well, let me hang up and get somebody else on. I appreciate you letting me get in this evening.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
In the number 602-333-2174, I'm going to caution you people out there. You better stop believing the things that you hear from me, from anybody in this whole world, unless you check it out and can prove it for yourself. That's always been my admonition. That's what this show is all about, to wake you up and make you understand that if you don't learn to find the truth out for yourself with facts and with proof, you're always going to be a puppet on the end of someone's string. And when they pull that string, folks, you're going to dance just like you're supposed to. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Bill?
Good.
Hey, about a year ago when you were interviewing your friend from Backwoods Home Magazine.
Dave Duffy, yeah.
Yeah. You made a mention about a small press that was available for reloading from RCBS that he was advertising in that thing for, reloading ammo.
Uh-huh.
The reason I'm calling is I wanted to get your opinion, if you would care to give it. I was wanting to get a small arsenal here, you know, just for the latter days, let's say. Would you, let's say a hunting rifle and a shotgun and a pistol and a assault rifle, quote unquote. Would you recommend going with a rifle that would be interchangeable with the U.S. military arms?
What I would recommend is this. Make sure that whatever you purchase for your own use uses the same ammunition, exactly, that military and law enforcement agencies use. Because when all this comes about, ammunition is going to disappear.
Right.
You're not going to find brass for reloading. You're not going to find powder. You're not going to find lead unless you've already got it. You're not going to find odd type calibers. You're not going to find calibers that... whatever you have, you may have to get from other sources, and the only other sources around that's going to have it is going to be the enemy.
Would you be talking like 223 and 9mm?
Yeah, those are two good ones.
Okay, is a 308 also popular in the military arena? The 762 NATO?
7.62, yeah.
I noticed
I'm familiar with the military designation. I'm not familiar with 308, but 7.62 is the M60 machine gun.
Right. I know a lot of these guys are getting these this cheap Chinese ammo coming in the 7.62x39 Russian round, and that seems to be fairly plentiful now. At least you can stock up on that.
Well, just remember this. The communist countries are very smart, very, very smart. And all of you out there, I hope you're listening to me very, very carefully. We discovered something in the Vietnam War very quickly, that when we captured their weapons, we could not chamber our ammunition, but their weapons could chamber ours. So if they captured our ammunition, they could use it in any of their weapons. But if we captured their ammunition, it was absolutely useless in ours.
Okay. Well, Bill, thank you for that information.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you for calling. Number 602-333-2174, and it's the open subject tonight, folks. You can talk about whatever you want to. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Yes. I'm good.
Turn off your radio, please.
I've been doing research and you know, following up on the Masonic aspect of the New World Order.
Uh-huh.
And I agree with you when you say that this country is a Masonic republic, and I understand all of this. What I can understand is if these people are so after world domination, why would they give us a chance at this great Masonic experiment? Why wouldn't they just have it locked down 100 years ago?
Because it wasn't a chance. It was a sure thing. They, under our forefathers, if you read their writings, they knew more about human nature than any psychologist that lives on the face of the earth today. They knew we would give up our freedoms in exchange for benefits. Our liberties and preserve the republic. They also gave us everything in the Constitution that we could use to destroy our own selves. They understood that human nature is such that if we can get something for nothing, and if we think it's for nothing, that's the way we're going to go. And that's exactly what has happened.
So it was just sort of a hollow gesture, because they knew what the outcome would be.
Well, not only wasn't a hollow gesture, they had to establish this country in order to give the common man a taste of freedom for the first time in the history of the world. This had never happened before. It was the catalyst that toppled the kings and queens from their thrones in Europe. It took away the power that opposed them. Number two, it was to prove to the common man that he could not rule himself. They knew that human nature, common man, would through his human nature, his human foibles and failings, give up everything that they had given us, and then that would be the reason quoted to us in the New World Order why we cannot have those liberties or freedoms.
I see. And so actually this was set up as the power transference was taken away from the old the aristocrats.
That's right. And this country was the instrument which would bring into the world the New World Order, and it was all put into the Great Seal of the United States. If you know how to interpret the symbolism of the mysteries, it's all right there. Who they were, what they were about, what they intended to bring about is right there in the Great Seal.
I see. Did you know that Albert Pike is buried in the walls of the House of the Temple in Washington, D.C.?
Yes.
Yeah. And also, what is the U.N. Meditation Room?
It is a place where those who understand the religion of the New World Order go to meditate and practice through symbology the religion right there in the United Nations.
Okay, Bill. Well, thank you very much, Bill, and be careful.
You're welcome. Thank you. Number 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
It's Bill from Tucson. I wonder if that guy that was talking to you earlier was down the street from me and talking about the same Air National Guard sergeant that I know about the black helicopters. Also, he didn't mention the sordid past of that airport.
Didn't mention what?
The sordid past of that airport.
Oh, yeah, we know that Moreno has a sordid past, but the listeners may not know. You want to talk about it?
CIA flew drugs through that place for years.
That's right. And I might add that there's a little airport not far from the church known as Branch Davidian where the same thing was occurring in Waco, Texas.
That had nothing to do with it there.
Pardon?
But that had nothing to do with what happened in Waco.
Well, I didn't say that. I said somebody manufacturing drugs on that property years ago had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, red herring.
But I don't know if that use of that airport had anything to do with it or not.
So how much is known about the black helicopters at this point?
Not a whole hell of a lot.
I mean, like how many are there and where are they based and that kind of thing?
Nobody really knows. We know where some of them are located some of the time. We know some of the organizations that use them and fly them.
Huh. Okay. Well, I'll check that one out. I'll talk to you again in a week. Oh, by the way, we took a vacation. I was thinking about you while I was crawling through the grass up to a trout stream trying not to aggravate the little beasties.
That sounds like
it. But I caught myself, and I had to spend 4 hours at the wonderful Napa Apache having a hook taken out of my hand.
Really?
Uh-huh. Great fun. Nice part of the country.
What'd you find in the trout stream?
Well, they're there, but they're hiding. They're very spooky.
Did you find anything else in the trout streams?
No. What, should I test at the water?
Well, I'm not going to mention the name of the Indian reservation because the Indians have made it plain to me in no uncertain terms that they don't want...
You're not welcome, huh?
No, I'm welcome. Oh. But they don't want the rest of the world there, and they don't want anybody to know what happened to them. But they have begun finding little metal dishes in their streams.
Metal dishes?
And in these dishes were little pellets, and they didn't know what they were until somebody thought to check them with a Geiger counter, and these were radioactive pellets in these little metal dishes in the streams on the Indian reservation.
You mean like dumped there or placed there?
Placed there intentionally in several different locations.
No kidding.
Now, I don't know what the purpose of that was, but...
That's pretty weird.
They called us in there to consult us about it, and we gave them everything that we could in, as far as knowledge and what we thought, and... they ask us, please, not to divulge the tribe or the location, and we promised that we wouldn't. And as always with sources, we never do. And we left.
Huh.
Also, they've really been messing with the Indians. We had a call from the Indians at the Pine Ridge Reservation South Dakota, where they filmed Dances with Wolves, by the way. And they had told the Indians that they were going to do a blind test on hepatitis A and hepatitis B, and that they were going to inoculate all the children of the tribe, but they were not going to tell them whether they got hepatitis A or hepatitis B, and then they were going to do this medical study. Well, our advice was...
they were going to infect them?
Well, we don't know what they were going to do, but we already know that all the tests have been done on hepatitis A and hepatitis B vaccine, and that this was some kind of a scam they were running. We had no intention of what their real intent was, but we advised the tribe, and we gave them a copy of my book and Dr. Strecker's information, and we advised the tribe under no circumstances should they allow their children to be vaccinated with hepatitis of any kind. Unless, you know, they had a better explanation than that, and the tribe managed to stop it. So we do a lot of things. CAGI does an awful lot of things across this country that no one even knows about, simply because unless somebody asks us, we just never tell them.
Is anybody making any effort to videotape any of this black helicopter business?
Oh, a lot of people have videotaped it. I have tons of photographs that people have sent me of these things flying in the air. Some of them are real good photographs. Some of them are worthless, but I don't want anybody to be discouraged from sending anything in because you think you're not a good photographer. You don't know what we're looking for. So sometimes when you think the photo's no good, to us it's a gem.
Yeah. Okay. I've noticed that on a lot of the National Guard helicopters are so darkly painted that you can't tell if they're black or not at any distance.
Well, that's true. But up close, I'm talking about within 200-300 yards. You can tell whether the color is olive drab or black.
What did you say about something in the FAA regulations that they got to be marked?
All aircraft during peacetime must be marked, and all aircraft must fly above 500 feet.
So, how do they get around that, or do they just ignore it?
Hey, you got to ask the FAA, man. You're asking the wrong person. I guess they just get around it by doing it, and nobody makes any complaints, and the FAA have another agenda altogether and probably don't care about enforcing their own rules.
So, we're getting crazy. Okay, take the next call.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. Number 602-333-2174, folks. And by the way, during the daytime, that number is our fax number. In fact, for 23 hours out of the day, that's our fax number if you'd like to fax us anything. When I got back from D.C., I had about 27 feet of fax paper on the floor. And I'm still reading it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Roy from Covina.
Hello, Roy.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk to you about Bo Grice. He was talking about the fact...
You need to turn off your radio, my friend.
Okay, just a second.
Folks, when you call any radio station, you got to do a couple of things. Number one, turn off your radio. Number two, put your mouth directly in front of the mouthpiece and talk louder than you normally would.
Okay, Bill. Is that fine?
That's great.
Okay. I just wanted to talk to you about Bo Greitz, where he was on and off about admitting if he was a Mormon or not.
Sure.
Well, I have a tape that was made by him, kind of promoting the book that he has in there, where he admits that he was a member of the Mormon Church for several years. And I was just wondering what you thought about that. If you need that tape, I'm willing to send it.
We want any tape that anybody has of Bo Greitz, either on videotape or audio tape. We don't care which. Now, if you want to make a copy and send us the copy, that's fine. If you want to send us the original, we'll make a copy and send your original directly back to you. If you can find a tape, then we know that there are tapes out there, because we know he said it twice on the Billy Goodman happening in 1989, and he also said it when he gave his talk, when he introduced himself at Freedom Call 90 in Las Vegas at the Showboat Hotel, that he was a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. So if you can find an audio tape or a videotape where Bo Greitz says in his own voice that he's a Freemason, in any kind of words whatsoever that says definitely that he's a Freemason or a Mason or a Scottish Rite or anything like that, for the first person that puts that tape into my hands will get $500 right out of my own pocket, folks. It doesn't come out of CAGI, doesn't come out of any place else, come out of my own pocket. So all of you out there who have Greitz tapes, we need all the tapes that we can get. We're going to show America who this guy really is. And we're doing a really bang up good job of it already, as you have already learned, and tomorrow night we're going to expose some of the fraudulent material that he's got in his book.
Yeah, and I just wanted to make a comment about the caller who just called wondering about the ammunition and what type that he would want to use. The 308 round is the round that is used by the snipers right now.
Your voice is falling off.
Sorry about that, it's just the phone here. The 308 round is the round that the U.S. snipers use, the Marine Corps and several other agencies use as their primary bullet for their weapon. So that would be a good choice for him.
Yeah.
Okay, and I just wanted to thank you for the job you're doing.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
By the way, folks, those of you who are so enamored and in love with automatic weapons, you give me one good man that can hit his target every time he shoots at it at 200 yards, and you can take all your automatic weapons and throw them in the ocean. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill Cooper.
Hello.
This is Paul from Perkasie.
Hello, Paul.
I was down in D.C. for Project 93 last Wednesday, and I was in the District of Criminals for the first time. And I looked around at that huge bureaucracy that we taxpayers support, and I'm amazed.
Well, you know, in reality, none of your tax dollars go to support it. All of your tax monies goes to the Federal Reserve to pay the interest on the debt. Did you know that?
Indeed it does. My wife and I took time to go into the Senate building and Congress, and I have an interesting point here that the American flag that was hanging in Congress was the conventional flag that we all see. But in the Senate chambers, the flag had that gold braid around the perimeter.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any idea why that is?
Yes, I do, but I don't have time to educate the world on it. It's the symbol of the executive branch. It's the flag that's flown when a territory or a region or a state is under martial law. It's known as an admiralty flag. It also can represent, and in this case does represent, international law. Ever since the United Nations Treaty was signed, in fact. So it depends upon where it's flown in the Senate. It would represent the sovereignty of the United Nations versus the United States.
I see. Well, I was disappointed at the turnout there, but a few patriots made it down there and were making our mark. I spent a half an hour with my congressman talking about that, and he was very pleased to know it, although he said he knew nothing about the Federal Reserve. And I think that's the story you hear from most congressmen. They just don't know. So hopefully we'll wake up the world.
Well, we're sure trying, but I got to tell you, see, I'm a realist. I don't stroke myself, and I don't like to masturbate. You know what I mean? If I do something, I want it to be productive, and I want it to be dealing with reality. And from what I saw in Washington, D.C. on September the 29th, the reality is that we're probably not going to stop anything, but I'm going to keep trying, and I want all of you to keep trying, because sometimes in history there have been known miracles to happen.
You have described it well.
That's right.
Thank you very much for your efforts, Bill.
Thank you for calling. And thank you very much for being in Washington, D.C. Number 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yes.
Glad I got through to you. I'm really enjoying listening to your mystery school tapes. I take most of them when I can. Reception is not always good.
Uh-huh.
I was going to ask you, or do you have any Betty Mills tapes available?
We just have the one program that we did with Betty Mills that's available. Have you got a tape list?
Yes, I do. I got it in the mail a while back when you had Ralph Epperson on. I said, I got the book Unseen Hand, and it's really a great book.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to order a couple of tapes, especially the 68th Convocation tape. I think it's one of the best tapes.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. We have three copies of the entire book, Xerox, of the 68th Convocation of the Rose Cross Order. I don't know how we're going to decide who's going to get those copies or even what we're going to charge for them, because we're not going to pick them up till tomorrow. I don't even know what it costs to have them duplicated. But we're way out in the country, and we don't have any of these cheap places. It's either 10 cents or 6 cents, depending upon how many pages you have. So hopefully we got 6 cents. And if we did, we'll figure it out. And I got to figure out how am I going to make it available to you people out there, because I've only got 3 copies. Maybe we'll have a contest or something, and whoever wants to purchase it can enter the contest, and the 3 top winners can get them.
Well, I called the Philosophical Printing Company in Quakertown, and they told me they knew of that book. The lady that I talked to knew of it, but it's not on the list. They sent me a book list.
Oh, no, it's been out of print for years. It was printed in 1916 and never printed again.
It sure is a prophecy, isn't it?
Oh, hey, what you heard me read to you from that book on this show is nothing compared to what else is in there.
I would love to get my hands on top of the book. I would pay for it.
Well, if there's a big enough demand, maybe we'll have it reprinted. I don't know. We'll find out. The copyright expired so many years ago that anybody can print it that wants to.
Well, I'm going to send in an order for that tape, the Rose, Rose Order tape, and a Betty Mills tape,
okay.
And I'll send you a little note then with my address and get on my hands and knees and beg for that book.
I don't want you to get on your hands and knees and beg. We'll figure out some way it's equitable to deal with these 3 copies we have.
Glad I got to speak to you. You have a great show. You're doing a great work, and keep up the good work, and I'll be talking to you again.
Thank you, and thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And let me see, what else was I going to say? Oh, yeah, well, some of you have been calling about your videotape order that you put in. We just found a stack of videotape orders that had fallen behind the desk that we used to do the orders on. So they're all at Shining Star White Rock in Phoenix right now, being reproduced, and will be out to you probably by Wednesday of next week. So I want to apologize to all of you people who were in that stack that fell behind the desk. Please accept my sincere apologies, and your videotapes are on the way. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Cooper. My name's Bill. I'm calling from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hello, Bill.
Hi. The reason I'm calling is several months ago you had a report of the FDA raiding a doctor's office.
Dr. Wright, yes.
Right, in the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Yes. And I was always wondering, I was always meaning to ask you, actually it's kind of a comment too, that the FDA has been doing this for years and years and years, almost 40.
That's right, it's another Gestapo organization full of
crooks.
Yeah,
exactly. Because they did the same thing to Wilhelm Reich in Oregon on Main when he was selling these organ accumulators, which is basically just a box lined with steel wool and rock wool, and it was being sold as a cancer cure, and the FDA didn't like that, and so they had a court order for him to cease and desist, and they were going to take him to court about it, but Dr. Reich determined that the courts had no position judging or proving a scientific theory. And so he didn't comply, and so they raided his place, burnt several of his books, and he died in prison.
Well, let me tell you something. I don't know whether his orgone accumulator or his orgone generators worked or whether they were frauds or not, but I do know this. Whenever somebody burns a book, they're hiding something.
Exactly.
And so when they burn Wilhelm Reich's books, I knew that he was onto something. I just don't know what it is. Anytime anybody burns books, folks, you want to get that book and you want to read it. Anytime somebody wants to ban a book, you want to get a copy of that book and read it.
Precisely.
And there, you know, in a country such as ours, we cannot allow those kinds of things to happen.
Exactly. He had theories about several other things, UFOs, nuclear energy. It was all within his own particular theory or worldview, or however you choose to say it. But
yeah.
I always thought it was sort of ironic that he started out as a communist and was one of the first to denounce the Soviet Union, at least, as red fascists. And he was virulently anti-communist towards the end of his life. And here the United States during the era anyway. Where,
let me give you a little clue here. All liberals are socialists.
True.
And all socialism ends up in fascism.
Right.
Always.
There was an economist, Friedrich Hayek, was one of the, also one of the first ones to examine the socialist roots of Nazism. He wrote a book several years ago called The Road to Serfdom, I believe it was.
Yeah, isn't it something how these liberals get off on calling right-wing people who want less government Nazis when Nazi means national socialism, and that's exactly what the liberals are bringing into the United States.
Well, fascism, I think, can bloom in almost any kind of economy. That's the way it goes, but, well, it works better in the more controlled economy it is, the better.
That's exactly right. In fact, it can't work unless it's controlled.
I'll get off the phone so others can call. I love your show, and keep it up.
Thank you.
Sure.
Good night. Bye. Thank you for calling.
Sure.
Number 602-333-2174. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, this is George from Marietta.
Hi, George.
Give me a clarification on something that I believe Colonel Bright said in a radio interview. I understand him to have said that during the time that he was in the Army, I believe Special Forces, one of his missions was to install aviation navigation radio beacons on top of hills.
In Central America.
In Central America, and the purpose was to allow the CIA to fly below ridgeline and therefore under radar and get in there and swap guns for drugs and bring the drugs back to America and sell that.
That's absolutely correct. Guns and drugs, and Greitz was in on it.
And he waited until after he got out of service to talk about this?
Well, when he first started talking, he said he didn't know anything about any drug involvement with the intelligence community or the government or the military or anybody until he was told by a third world drug lord named Kunsaw in the Golden Triangle. Now, that can't be true because when I was fighting as an enlisted boat captain on a river patrol boat in Vietnam, I knew where the drugs came from that was being sold to our people there in Vietnam. They came from the drug labs of the CIA operated by the Hmong tribesmen up in the mountains. Everybody knew it.
The tape that you aired this evening, did that have Wright saying that he was a Mormon?
Yes.
Okay. I was there on the Capitol steps with you and Devi, and I had to ride the Greyhound bus up there and back and do without sleep for 2 days. I don't have a job. I don't have any money, but by God, I was there. I figured there are at least a million Americans who've had liens, levies, seizures or adverse actions taken against them by the IRS, and if only one-tenth of them had been there, there would have been 100,000 angry people up there, and they would not be there to talk about NAFTA.
You got it right, my friend. You got it right. And I want to thank you for being there and for making the sacrifice that you did. It's commendable. It's what everybody should have done, and you did it.
Well, the people that weren't there, they have to understand that because of their inaction, they have brought us a little bit closer to requiring a shooting war in order to turn this country around.
Well, let's hope it never comes to that. One of the reasons for this program is to try to wake up enough numbers of people so that doesn't have to happen, but Project 93 just sort of shot that in the butt.
you're right, there is no organization for patriots. There's no formal...
There is no patriot movement in this country. There's a whole bunch of deceptions being run by the opposition in total control of Freemasons. C. Brown, Grice's partner in his new organization, is an admitted 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. Nord Davis Jr. is a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. I could go on and on and on and on and on, but it doesn't make any difference. Everybody out there call me a liar and say that I'm full of crap, and nobody does anything anyway. You saw Project 93 in Washington.
That was a heartbreak.
Yep. Well, I want to thank you for calling, my friend. We're just about out of time.
I enjoyed it.
Well, folks, that's it for another night. Stay tuned tomorrow night. We're going to expose some more of Bobo Gritz right out of his own book. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you.